Hello there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns won't be with us for a few weeks as he is coaching baseball again. Tim has agreed to help out with the Gloucester varsity baseball team, and he'll be doing the freshman team. He's going to be coaching freshman baseball this year. So good news for the Gloucester baseball community here. Maybe working out with my, trying to get these wires. I am really wired up here. Man, this is bad news. let's just turn the music down for a second. Tell you a lineup of guests here in a minute. But first, I have to figure out what in the world these wires, how they're so crossed up. Got to undo this microphone and wrap this around. So we got a good lineup tonight, as we've got our usual cast of characters to some extent. That is to say, Gary Larrabee will be by with his expertise on golf and other sports. Gary, of course, honored by the New England PGA Hall of Fame last week. At least he got the notice last week. The award will be later on. But Gary will talk all things sports, and of course, we got the Masters coming up very soon. So Gary will get into that. I believe it's another 2 weeks, perhaps. I think it starts a week from Thursday? I think it's a week from Thursday. Thursday is April 1, so I believe it's the 8th. Anyway, we'll check with Gary about that and other golf stuff as well. We'll also check in with Nick Kukru, the sports editor of the Times. Hope to talk with our man, Bill Newell, our man who does everything here at MSO News Sports. Have an update on some college sports as well. And we'll also talk with Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson. I've been looking forward to getting a hold of Coach Jackson for the winter wrap-up. And, of course, Marblehead going 24-1-2. 24 wins, one loss, two ties, and the only loss coming to Lincoln Sudbury in the Division II North Finals in a great game. And we'll talk about the season that Marblehead did have this year and some of the great players and great games that were had. Some of the great players that played for the team and great games that were played also. So that's sort of our lineup. We also will be checking in with Bill Newell, interviewed the Moynihan Lumber Student Athletes of the Month for February. He talked with Sarah Welch at Beverly High School and Jack Stafford at Lynn High School. And we'll be talking at Lynn High School. He's the Lynn Jets, is who he played for. He was the goaltender, the great goaltender for Lynn Jets. And we're going to have those interviews, too, during the next hour or so. All right, so there you go. Now, if you have any suggestions or comments or complaints, you can go ahead and mail us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. And send us your comments, complaints, whatever it might be. Let us know. And we'll address those things, of course. Just looking at the Gloucester High School Spring Coaches Directory that Bill sent along, and one name that jumps out at me is Dylan Girard. Dylan, former student of mine who's going to be coaching JV lacrosse this year, boys JV lacrosse. Dylan Morrissey, of course, the varsity lacrosse coach. And then, as we mentioned, we've got a post up there with Mike Ladoff and Brian Anderson. They are the girls varsity lacrosse coaches. Brian's going to be assisting Mike along with Anna Oshiro and John Fosbury, though those guys will all be coaching as well. So kind of cool. And of course, you got your Brian LaFada with boys varsity baseball. And what else you got here? Gloucester High School. Tim Kearns, boys freshman baseball. And let's see, what do we have? What am I missing? Tell me what I'm missing. Volleyball? No, we don't have volleyball at Gloucester. They don't have volleyball at Gloucester. Softball. There we go. Girls varsity softball. John Castro will be coaching softball. John Sperry will be coaching boys tennis. Lynn Sala will be coaching girls tennis, and that's at Gloucester High School. We'll be talking with, obviously, a whole bunch of athletic directors as the spring season progresses here and getting some more information on the coaches all around the league. So that's that. Now we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to check in with Gary Larrabee, who is a sports writer extraordinaire, but get us caught up on some golf items of interest, and that is all upcoming here momentarily. You're listening to MSO New Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Sports Night on this kind of drizzly cold Monday night. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO Radio, keeping you in touch with North Shore news and sports newsmakers, such as Adam DeBadges, girls basketball coach at Bishop Fenwick High School.
I'm just really happy. My girls play great, I thought, and just tough. And they've been there four times in a row, so, you know, it's like the old John Wooden quote there. I think he said something about, like, experience doesn't matter when, you know, experience is overrated.
Congratulations to Bishop Fenwick on their state title. This is MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Monday nights at 7, it's North Shore Sports Night, the North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. MSONewsSports.com.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
Okay, we are back, and it is a Monday night, and early on, we always talk as often as possible to Gary Larrabee, sports writer, but especially focusing on golf this time of year, spring and summer. And Gary, welcome back. How are you?
Great to have my voice with you, golf voice, Rick, and thank God we're almost out of March. It's almost April, and we can hopefully really get serious about playing some golf.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I was hoping for some of this cold weather back in January and February, and I don't know, it seems to be upside down, but it'll get better. Hey, Gary, all right, let's get started with golf. If we have time, I want to ask you another sports question on women's basketball, but let's get started with some local names. I did notice... maybe a month ago, I'm not sure, that there was a big article, I think, in the Salem News, Gloucester Times, about Gloucester's Josh Sala doing well on the pro circuit, or at least off to a pretty good start this year. What can you tell me?
Yeah, I think we should let our listeners in on this if they missed it. It happened the end of January. Josh Sala from Gloucester, Bass Rock, Sacred Heart University down in Connecticut. He, as you may remember, Rick, decided to try to make it as a professional golfer, as a player, and he went a little bit on the unorthodox side. He decided to go over to Asia,
mm-hmm.
and try to make his roots as a professional player on the Asian tour. And lo and behold, after he got his feet, what I guess you could say, last year, lo and behold, the end of January, he won the he won his first Asian Tour victory, which was worth $46,000 to him.
Mm.
It was in Malaysia. He shot four very impressive rounds, finished at 17 under 271. He beat a fellow from Japan, Shunya Takeyasu, by a shot. And it's been a little bit quiet for Josh since then, but even a tour like that, Rick, is very serious competition, because every year you see guys from that tour show up somewhere at the British Open or in the European Tour, or showing up on the PGA Tour and making a go of it. So this is a great big step for Josh, and we belatedly congratulate him, and hopefully he'll break through again sooner rather than later while he's toiling over there in very difficult conditions, as you can imagine.
Yeah, great, great kid, too. Well, Gary brings Pat a big smile on my face when he was at Gloucester High School. Brother Tom, same thing. Just one quick aside. Gary, you know, it makes me think of how difficult it is in the pros. All these kids who are 20, in their 20s, then they get to their mid-20s. How many guys would you estimate there are, or just a, you know, broad brushstroke, how many guys are in there, I don't know, let's say mid-20s to early 30s on the golf tour who just are so good but just don't quite get to the top?
Well, think about the main tours. There's the Asian Tour, there is the European Tour, there is the PGA Tour here in America, and there are those minor league tours that the U.S. PGA Tour runs in Canada, in Latin America. There's a secondary tour in Europe. So we're talking easily 1,000 players.
Wow.
Who have that dream, if not more than 1,000.
Wow.
On these various tours. And let's face it, very few of them make the jump from one year to the next, but Josh Salas' story could be part of that, jumping up to the big time. Who knows, next couple. He's only 24 years old, and he's made progress. He's made that first big jump, so we'll see where it goes.
Good point, yeah. He's a winner. That's cool. What else you got on the local scene there, Gare?
We should also talk about Jack Whalen, who from Pingree School, from Myopia Hunt Club, who graduated last spring from St. Lawrence University. He had a pretty good amateur summer, nothing great, but he's playing on the Latin American Tour within the PGA Tour. He played out down in Buenos Aires in a qualifying. And then he played in Colombia. His first event was in Colombia. He finished tied for 22nd. Not bad. Got a long ways to go, but he hasn't made any headlines yet this year. But it's his first year going on this part of the play for pay circuit. And he's in Central and South America for about 3 months. And then he hopefully make a jump from there either to the Canadian PGA Tour or start trying to qualify for some web.com events, which is really the big-time secondary level tour for the PGA Tour. So we got two local guys who are trying to make it, and they're going to give it their best shot, and we hope both of them make it. Of course, last but not least, we should mention Rob Oppenheim, Salem native, with roots at Kernwood and the Andover Country Club, Indian Ridge, who qualified for the PGA Tour last fall, and he had a very good finish at Arnold Palmer's tournament 2 weeks ago. He finished like tied for 25th and made like $45,000. That's his first big check on the big tour, and we'll see where he missed a cut this past weekend. Playing in Puerto Rico while the match play was being played in Austin, Texas. But that's a step in the right direction for Rob as well. Doesn't happen every week. It only happens once a month. But progress is being made by all three of these guys.
Yeah, that's good to know. I'm glad to hear that. We got to think positive vibes. I think the more people around here think positive vibes, send along some positive energy. That'll help them out spiritually, I guess. Gary, change at the top of the leaderboard, if you will, from Jason Day taking over Jordan Spieth's spot, I guess it is. So kind of some big movement nationally already this season.
Yeah, no surprise that Jason Day is up there. He's certainly considered one of the top five right now in the world, not just on the PGA Tour. An Australian, you know, he almost won the U.S. Open last year. He did win the PGA Championship. He's now won 2 weeks in a row on the tour, last week at Arnold Palmer, this week at the Match Play Championship in Austin, Texas. He's clearly in that favorites role coming up for next week's Masters. He's taken this week off. He's not playing Houston. He'll be coming next week as one of those co-favorites with Jordan Spieth, with Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy. That's four, and you might throw Ricky Fowler in, even though Ricky's at a quiet last 6 weeks or so, but it just obviously portends for a phenomenal Masters. And of course, watch out, watch these guys all fall flat in the face next week and have some unknown come up and win the Masters. But that's also what makes the Masters great. We'll look forward to that next week.
Oh, absolutely. Gary, I know you went down there a few times. What brings a smile to your face about going to Augusta? What's a really nice, pleasant memory that pops into your head, if I can ask you that?
Well, it's all visual, I think. The sights and sounds, the sounds are great, but the sights are number one. You have to go to a place like Cypress Point or Pebble Beach out in California on the coast to have a visual, such an extraordinary visual look at a golf course. Every time you blink your eyes and every time you turn around, it's just an amazing place visually. So green, so beautiful, the flowers, the trees, beautiful layout, and of course, it's usually the most dramatic golf of the year for a major coming up on Sunday afternoon. We'll see if that holds true again this year. Just an amazing place to see, and that's what everyone seems to talk about when they tell me they've been to the Masters for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
What they see, and it's just amazing.
When you were down there, and you talked to, I'm gathering, a number of people, not just the pros, but was that what, people who go, I doubt that there are casual golfers who go to watch it. I imagine everybody understands the game. Did they come away with that same feeling of man, this is really someplace special? It's almost like a shrine to me. I'd love to go down and visit.
It really is a shrine. I think that's how most golfers look at it. And the fact that it's in the public eye every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Not every 5 or 10 years like a British Open, and those are magnificent pieces of property too. You typically went on the ocean across the pond, but the PGA rotates every year. The U.S. Open rotates every year, that's another thing that just makes the Masters so amazing. It comes to us every year. We can't wait. It's in the spring. It's a spring approach. It's like a harbinger of what's to come. But it looks so incredibly beautiful on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And as we probably have discussed in the past, it's even twice as beautiful as that. If you get a chance to walk the grounds in person.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it is a harbinger of spring, thank goodness. And what does it start, a week from Thursday?
A week from Thursday at Augusta National, and it should be a real slugfest this year.
All right, and maybe we could preview that next week, Gary, if you feel like it.
I look forward to that.
Awesome. All right, well, stay dry and have a good week, and be safe.
Rick, thanks so well. Be as well, and think golf.
Thank you, Gary. Take care.
Thanks,
all right,
Rick.
That's Gary Larrabee, who is a sports writer and golf expert, of course, golf writer, and just a sports historian as well. Great writer, and he's been to the Masters many times, covering the tournament down there. Used to read his stuff, and wish I was down there. It made it sound so comfortable and so nice. All right, next up, Marblehead hockey coach. Yes, that's what I said. Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson. We'll be back.
Hi, folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back, and it's my great pleasure to talk once again with Marblehead hockey coach Bob Jackson of Marblehead High School. And, Coach, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
Coach, I'm telling you, I had the most fun this year. I've been doing this for close to 40 years, I think, and I had the most fun this year I've ever had, especially with the teams in the Northeastern Conference who did so well in the tournament. Even the teams that didn't advance in the tournament played very well and gave us our money's worth. So that's where I want to start, and I want to start by congratulating you and your team on just the most enjoyable year that I think fans of the NEC could have.
Well, thank you very much. It's a compliment to all the guys on the team, how hard they worked, and the way that they pulled together from the start of the year to the end of the year.
Coach, they did work hard. I saw some of your workouts at Salem State, and especially in the tournament, and I know it was a bitter pill to swallow against Lincoln Sudbury, but boy, Lincoln Sudbury looked pretty damn good. And you guys got, I think we saw some leaders on the ice for next year on your team, especially late in the game. Some of your younger kids, boy, they almost pulled it out.
Well, you know, it's one of the things that's been a real good blessing for us is every year we've seemed to have a good blend of not only seniors but a lot of underclassmen as well. And I think the underclassmen this year really blended well with the upperclassmen, and that's what you saw. You saw everybody, you know, not looking for somebody else to do the job. They all wanted to try to do the job themselves.
Yeah, I think it was a James McCarthy, number 20. At the end, he was just all over the ice, and he's only a sophomore, is that right?
Actually, James is a junior, and his future is very, very good with us next year. He's just a super individual. He's a great character. He's an excellent student, and his speed, I'm hoping that he improves his speed a little bit more next year, because right now it's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, Coach, particular skills, particular talents that kids have. With you and your coaching staff, this is probably a stupid question, but are you able to enhance that with these kids to make them get a step quicker or a little bit better and understand the game a little bit more?
Well, each year we try to do that, and, you know, obviously a lot depends on the talent that you have. This year we were able to put a few more things in our systems that we haven't in the past, just because we had a little bit more speed, and that speed can help in a lot of different situations, and hopefully when we have our breakup dinner and we talk to the kids in the end of June for preparation of next year, that we'll emphasize the speed and we'll emphasize some of the things that they can do over the summer that will give us some speed coming into next year's season as well.
Your kids seem really tight, really close together, Coach, and you did. It seemed like I don't quite know how to describe how I looked at your role over them, but it was sort of as a father figure and maybe a little bit of a father confessor, but also as a disciplinarian, all of those things. And how important, or how does chemistry work? It's that's a term you see in the pros, but it looks like your kids, whatever that means, it looks like they had it. You got your older kids helping the younger kids, but also the tradition of Marblehead High School. Is that something that they're aware of when they come to you?
I think we talk about it quite a bit. There's a lot of long history in Marblehead, and when Tommy Colby and Mark Tarmy and Pat Flynn and Gary Kahn, we took this program over back in the early 2000s. You know, we wanted to get back to where the hockey teams were from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, and I think we've done a good job with that. So the kids are aware of it. I think we emphasize kind of old school approach, and the kids buy into it, and it's pretty good. We have a great group of kids. We have a great group of parents, and they let the coaches coach. They let the kids play, and we go from there.
Self-discipline, Coach, you got to have it everywhere you go, in sports and in academics. And I know that it's important on your list, but it seems like, again, your seniors especially must have had that to be as successful as you were.
One of the things that we do each year at our banquet is we invite the incoming freshmen or the middle school team, and the very first thing during our banquet is we introduce the high honor roll and the honor roll students.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody know that academics is more important than playing a sport that maybe you might only play for another 2 or 3 years. And so we do put an emphasis on it. We're not always as successful as we'd like to be in the schoolroom, but the kids are well aware of it. We talk about how important it is to be a member of the Marblehead hockey program, and you're representing the Marblehead hockey program in the schoolroom. And we don't want teachers to be coming down saying, you know, listen, these kids aren't doing what they should be doing. So we kind of have a little discipline. If we get some discipline from a teacher, we'll actually implement our own discipline on the rink, and if that means missing a practice and then miss a game. And in the last, I'd say, half dozen years, we haven't really had to do that, whereas maybe 10, 15 years ago, we did have some players who missed games because of academic situations.
Right, right. I'm familiar with that. In other teams. But Bob, 24 wins, one loss, two ties. And you were 24-0 at one point. And looking back now that the season is a couple of weeks in the rearview mirror, how do you look at this, Bob? Because it seems to me when I got to see your games and talk with you, you were quite pleased inwardly, but you didn't want to go overboard telling the kids that. And there was always something, I guess, as most coaches would say, there's always something you could do better. But how do you look back at this incredible season now, Bob?
Well, I'm not sure it's still fully sunk in, but it is nice to reflect back. I know that we have our banquet this coming Sunday, but when we were going into the season, we had an untested goalie, which for the first time since we've taken over the program, we really didn't have any experience from the year before. And so that was a big question mark. Ronnie Cunningham stepped up. He did a great job, and obviously the results by the day, you can see what he accomplished. And then our defense, I mean, we knew that we had some decent forwards, but we weren't quite sure with a new goaltender and some untested defensemen where we be. But P.J. Roy and Dylan Janesco and Rich Driscoll and Aiden Gillis and Duncan Leggett, they all stepped up, Christian Henniger, and we had a couple freshmen that got some shifts in Brendan Locke and Paul Heffernan to get some experience for next year. And, you know, they all did the job when they needed to do it, and I guess that's where you get the results. If you had told me that would be anywhere close to 20 wins at the start of the season, I would have said, you know, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking at the wrong team. So, again, it's just a compliment to the kids. It just shows, you know, you asked earlier about chemistry. I think you can have all the talent in the world, but if there's no chemistry, you can easily lose. I think some teams saw that this past week after the NCAA college tournament. But if the team has chemistry, they have heart, and they work together, you can be a mediocre team, and the heart can carry you a long ways. I don't think you have to look any further than Northeastern to see their story. I think they got a very similar story. They started off very slow at the start of the season, had basically the same players. They just came together as a team, and what they did the second third of the college season was tremendous.
Well, you know, I know it's important to get the younger kids. You mentioned that, but your younger kids did get a lot of playing time, and in a competitive situation against other teams' varsity, that can only be a good thing for next year.
Yes, and hopefully the one thing that we have to do is we have to look at next year as obviously a brand new year, and just like there's a lot of part of the season we're talking about being undefeated and having that bullseye on our back.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that we work hard, you know, coming into next season. And the kids know that. I think they're pretty good when it comes to that. We realize that it doesn't matter, especially in the Northeast Conference. If you're not ready and prepared each night to play one of those top teams, anyone can beat you on a given night.
Can we say, Bob, that the NEC was pretty good this year, especially given how the teams did in the playoffs?
I would definitely say. I think the NEC, you have some fantastic coaches, you know, every year. Winthrop is always a tough team to play. Beverly, Danvers, Peabody. I mean, Peabody had a great run. I actually thought Peabody might be a team that might find themselves making it to the finals this year. I thought that they had some great seniors. They had some size and they had speed. Unfortunately, I think they just ran into a stone wall in their last game. But then you look at Gloucester. I mean, Gloucester moving down to the NEC South, and what they did in the Division II tournament. That's a compliment to Sean and his coaching staff and how hard the kids in Gloucester pulled together. So, yeah, I always think that the Middlesex and the Northeast Conference are two very tough leagues, and you have to come to play every night, and I think that does give you preparation for the tournament.
Yeah, and Jack Stafford, the Lynn goalie, he turned out to be the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month back in February. So Lynn having a pretty good year, too.
Exactly. Joe does a great job with the Lynn team. I thought they were going to make some noise in the Division III tournament. They just ran into a hot team that had nine guys that played their heart out when they played them. So,
yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah, but you know, you're right. If you look at all the NEC teams that went into the tournament, I mean, even Swampscott had a good tournament run.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a team that ended up, you know, going pretty deep in the Division III. So I think it's a compliment to everyone. And I know that, you know, the few teams that didn't make it in the tournament, they have young guys. They're working real hard. And next year is going to be a real tough battle for all the teams. I mean, Saugus and Beverly and Danvers are going to come out on fire next year. I know that.
Well, I know we're going to be blinking our eyes, and we're going to be getting ready for it again. Bob, final thoughts. I know that you mentioned your breakup banquet coming up, and I don't want any, not asking for any secrets. But what do you do in terms of the off season? Is this a springboard for the kids? You leave them with a few pearls of wisdom, or just wrap it up for this past winter?
Basically, we'll just highlight this past winter. What we've done in the past is usually the last week of school in June, we'll have a meeting where we'll invite everyone in, and in that meeting there, we'll basically talk a little bit about the summer expectations. A lot of our hockey players are playing baseball and lacrosse right now, so that's where their focus needs to be, and we're wishing them luck in those seasons, and you know, hopefully the same type of energy and effort they put in the hockey season, they can put in their spring team. So the banquet's basically just to wrap up the season, acknowledge some of the good things that were done, and talk a little bit about next year, but not too much. Mm-hmm. And most of that in June.
All right. Well, geez, I hope everybody has a smile on his face at the banquet, the kids, the parents, and friends and everybody, because it was so much fun, Bob. And I really want to thank you again for all your help this season. It was just so much fun to do. Thanks, Coach.
Well, Rick, I want to thank you for everything you do for high school hockey. It's just tremendous to listen to the productions that you put together and the professionalism. And I tell you what, you make it easier as us, the coaches, when you do the game. So
I appreciate it. Thanks, Bob. That means a lot. Listen, Coach, we'll talk to you somewhere down the road. Meantime, stay dry and have a great springtime.
Same to you, Rick. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right, Coach. Thank you. Bob Jackson, the Marblehead hockey coach, and I mean it. Boy, I'll tell you what. All the coaches we talked with this year, all of them were terrific. But, you know, of course, Marblehead went the furthest, and Coach Jackson was great. Coach Lyons over in Gloucester was terrific. Mark Leonard over at Peabody High School was awesome to us. Coach Shares in Beverly. We can just go on and on. It's just great. Danvers and Lynn. Winthrop, just so much fun, and the conference just did really great. Just so happy that the conference did so well in the various divisions in the tournament. Marblehead, of course, with the best record, 24-1-2, I believe it was. Just fantastic. All right, take a quick break. We will come back as Bill Newell will be talking with Jack Stafford, the Lynn Jets coach. He was the player of the month for February, and then we'll come back and talk live with Nick Kukuru and Bill as well, I believe. And then we'll hopefully get Sarah Welch in there as well. This is MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. Kind of cold and drizzly outside, but it is spring.
MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio, North Shore Sports Radio. This is MSO News Sports Now. Joining us right now, Jack Stafford, who is the goaltender for the Lynn Jets, and he also is the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the month of February. And, Jack, congratulations on that award, and congratulations on really a great winter season with the Lynn Jets.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Jack is the goaltender of the team, and I understand you finished at 13-4-1 with a 1.31 goals against average, 949 save percentage, and six shutouts. So you had a really fantastic year, and your team had a great year as well.
Yeah, definitely. We were working pretty hard the entire year, you know, to all maintain the same goal, which was just to win some games and support me as much as possible.
Yeah. As far as the season, Jack, what were a couple of the highlight games for you? What would you say were a couple of the highlight games?
Probably, I think our Gloucester game at home, it really made a statement for us, shutting them out, because they came into you know, our home rink with one of the highest you know, goal scoring, goals per game average, and you know, to shut them out and win on our home ice, it felt great. And I also had a big game against Peabody. I think I had 42 saves on 43 shots, so I let up one goal. We ended up losing that game, but I think with the amount of saves I made that game, I really made a statement for myself and for my team.
Yeah, you guys have really made a statement, I think, for Lynn hockey, playing with some of the North Shore's best team and playing them, you know, pretty tough. I mean, now Marblehead's a tough matchup for you guys, but those guys did well in the postseason,
you know, as well as some other teams like Gloucester as well. So, you know, you didn't pull that one out, but otherwise you had a great great season.
Yeah, definitely. We played Marblehead the first game. That was a bust. It was a very low point in the season. Then we ended up playing them a second time in a Newburyport tournament. We only lost to them 4-1, including an open net. So that was a hard fought game. They're a great team. They just, once they get those two goals, they just keep rolling and they feed off that energy from those two goals.
Jack, now I understand that let me just talk about your teammates. One last question on the Lynn Jets, and that would be, you know, as you look at your teammates, is it one of your guys on the team kind of step up this year, or several of them, and really contribute big time or unexpectedly this year for the Jets?
Yeah, definitely. We've had some defensemen step up. A couple of freshmen, actually, Troy Pekovic, Ryan Craig, and Stephen Patry. He's a junior, but he didn't get much ice time freshman and sophomore year. And this year, I think they all really stepped up and helped us and actually contributed offensively as well as defensively.
Well, we're talking with Jack Stafford from the Lynn Jets, a Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month winner for the month of February. And, Jack, you're in the classroom, I understand. One of your favorite classes is one you're just taking right now. It's an elective, but it's street law. Tell me about that class and what you hope to do with it.
Street law is a great class. The first half of the year is street law, where we learn about just basic things of law, like Miranda rights, due process, all that. And then the second half of the year is actually criminal law, where we get into the trial and everything, and after the trial, and you know, where you go after the trial, and all your rights and everything in the criminal law part.
Now, at this time of the year, you're out for lacrosse. So tell me about your role on the lacrosse team, which is another combined Lynn team with English and classical, correct?
Yes.
What's your position? And you've played there. This is not your first year playing lacrosse, I take it.
Right. I started playing lacrosse in sixth grade. When I was in the fifth grade, I ended up dropping baseball, and then I started playing lacrosse in Salem for Salem Youth Lacrosse. And as time went on, I started moving around, and then I made my way to Swampscott Youth Lacrosse. Played there for 2 years, and then once high school started up, I started for the Lynn Lacrosse, which was Lynn Shamrocks my freshman year. And then last year, we actually switched over to the Lynn Jets and got New Jerseys, and for them, I've been playing center midi. I've been FOGO, just taking face-offs, and then I get off, and then I go right on attack, which is the more offensive position.
All right. Well, Jack, anything else you want to share with us about either the Jets or lacrosse or what else, or about winning the award from the student-athlete folks?
Yeah, it's definitely It's always good to see the hard work that we all put in pay off. Especially me, before the season started, I was putting in a lot of work with the East Coast Spartans. We play out of Lynn, and you know, just putting in a ton of work preseason, during the season, practices, working hard, and it's always good to see a payoff, winning the MVP of Northeastern Conference and winning the scholarship award.
Gotcha. Well, congratulations to you, and you're so well spoken. You'll do very well, I'm sure, whatever you decide to do later on after high school and beyond. But again, congratulations on what you've been able to achieve, and have a great lacrosse season.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Jack Stafford from the Lynn Jets, and again, the male Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Student Athlete Award winner from the month of February, right here with us on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Good to listen to the Lynn Jets goalie as the player of the month and, of course, the MVP of the Northeastern Conference in hockey. And, again, thanks to Bob Jackson talking with him, wrapping up the hockey season. Nick Kukuru of the Gloucester Times, he's the sports editor of the Times, is with us. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you going?
Geez, I'm telling you, pretty cool. I just we talked to Gary Larrabee earlier, and Gary was talking about Josh Sala's success earlier in the year. I guess it was in late January in the Asian Tour. But that's behind us now, Josh, into the spring season. What have you seen so far, Nick, in the first week of tryouts and practice on Cape Ann?
Well, not a whole lot, because I was on vacation last week, but I know I got a good read on all of these teams, fortunately, from seeing them last season.
Mm-hmm.
I was down at lacrosse practice today. Gloucester's low on numbers for the boys, and you know, Manchester Essex has actually has a ton of experience back, so that's a good sign for them. They're looking for their best season in a while this spring. For Gloucester, though, it's tough. They actually do not have a JV team this year on the boys' side because there's not enough players to field one.
I don't get that. What's going on?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I thought lacrosse was kind of on the rise, but I think the last couple of years it's taken a bit of a dip. It seems like, you know, lacrosse and baseball kind of go back and forth, you know, which, you know, group of kids is into which sport, and, you know, they seem to be going back and forth a bit, and I think the youth baseball kind of has the larger numbers.
Where did
the youth lacrosse?
Where do all the hockey players go? Don't they usually transition over to lacrosse?
Yeah, some of them, but I don't think Gloucester has any hockey players on its team, to be completely honest with you.
Wow.
Liam Lyons is a baseball player.
Yeah.
Has a Sal Costanzo. I don't think Alex Venus plays a spring sport that I know of.
Yeah, I think he's taken off.
I can't think of any of the other guys that would play lacrosse.
Well, you just mentioned the two hockey captains for next year, in Lyons and Costanzo.
Yeah, exactly, yep.
Pretty
no
cool.
Surprise there with the season they had. Liam Lyons has a chance at 100 points, actually. I think he's 27 away, and nobody scored 100 since Andrew Fulford, so that was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And, again, talking with Coach Jackson, we were just talking about how good the Northeastern Conference was this year, and I think that's, you know, that was proved by how far the teams went in the state tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And all we heard all season was that the NEC was kind of weak and down, but that ended up being incorrect.
Yeah.
You know, the cream rises to the top of the tournament. You get two semifinalists. You know, your conference had a pretty good season.
Absolutely. All right, what else we got now? You got baseball to look at, and you mentioned Manchester's lacrosse looks pretty strong. So what about baseball around Cape Ann?
Yeah, baseball. Gloucester got a lot back, and last year was kind of their rebuilding season. They didn't lose much. I think they only lost three players, and they got a good crop of they had a couple sophomore pitchers last year that were really strong. Mark Skinny and Jeremy Zadina, both you know, they got their feet wet last year in the varsity team. Now they're juniors this year, so they're going to be form a solid 1-2 punch. I think Gloucester will get back into the tournament. Last year, I think it was a bit of an anomaly. You know, they got hit really hard by graduation all at once. They had to, you know, rely on an inexperienced and young pitching staff, and they didn't have a whole lot of, you know, pop in their lineup. Their lineup was inexperienced, too, so it was kind of a bit of a perfect storm for them. But I think they'll be back this year. I think the team with the most hype around them on Cape Ann is going to be Gloucester softball.
Mm-hmm.
They have basically everybody back. I know the only star player they lost was catcher Tess Benson, and I think that's going to be really tough to replace. She was a three-year starting catcher in that position. We all know how important that is. But they had their pitcher back in Karina Keenan, and they got basically, you know, good players all around the diamond. I mean, they're great in the field. You know, they don't really tear the cover off the ball, but they have a ton of speed on the base pass. And they're going to be a dangerous team this year in the NEC.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nick, what about Rockport? What do we have up there?
Well, Rockport baseball is actually looking pretty strong, too. They didn't lose much from last season either. They just missed out on the tournament last year. Danny Ryan is back, junior, heavy throwing junior. He's actually committed to Northeastern already. He's back at the top of their rotation. He's been their ace since he was an eighth grader. So he'll be back and improved. And the question with Rockport the last couple of years is offense. They make the players in the field. They can pitch. But they didn't score a lot of runs. They got a more experienced lineup this season than they have the last two. So they're hoping to scrape a few more runs across and get over that mm-hmm. tournament hump. And in Division Four, as you know, we see all the time in those Division Four tournaments with, you know, Manchester Essex girls soccer, Manchester Essex girls basketball in the past. If you're one of those Cape Ann League teams and you get into the tournament, you're automatically up there as one of the top contenders in that section.
Absolutely, yeah, with their non-league schedule. When's the season start, Nick?
Well, starts Thursday. Manchester Essex lacrosse opened up at home against Haverhill. Most of the teams start next week, though, is when there's the big start. All the Gloucester teams start next week, and most of the Manchester Essex teams. And then Rockport
doesn't start until the following week. They got a week later start than everyone else.
Okay.
So, I don't know why, but they do.
Well, let's hope we get some of that January and February weather here so it warms up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I never thought we'd say that.
Oh, man. All right, Nick, what do you got coming up for, in the paper this week?
Well, we got spring sports previews running all week. Boys lacrosse is tomorrow, and then boys and girls tennis the following day, and then we'll go, so on with all seven of the spring sports finishing up in Monday's paper.
Okay. You've been putting the schedules in the paper there every day, too, so that's good to grab onto.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Nick, we'll talk, if not next week, then the week after.
Sounds good, definitely.
All right, Nick, thanks so much. Take care. That is Nick Kugru, who is the sports editor of the Gloucester Times, sort of previewing Cape Ann sports, at least the high schools on Cape Ann. We'll come back, take a break, and then come back is what I'm trying to say here. This is MSO News Sports. Any questions, comments, complaints, or suggestions, msonewsports@gmail.com.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Okay, we're back now, and Bill Newell is with us. Tim Kearns coaching baseball now, back coaching freshman baseball in this weather, and... Bill, how's the weather down where you are?
It's wet.
Cold?
Yeah, not too cold, but yeah, wet.
Yeah, all right.
42 degrees, though. Yeah, I guess 42 is pretty cold.
Yeah, it's for this time of year. All right, Bill, you've been posting these college scores with great regularity on the weekends with Endicott and Salem State, and I know there's at least one update you can bring us tonight, but they're up there on the weekend, and maybe you could just... highlight what teams are playing now and these posts that are up there on the weekend, where people can take a look and catch up on these guys.
Well, just so folks know, right now the only thing happening locally for sports is on the college scene with Endicott and Salem State and Gordon. So we've been able to post up some of the results over the weekends and stuff. And during the week as well, I think they're I'm not sure what was scheduled today, but we did have one... women's lacrosse game today. Salem State notched a win over Wheelock College, and I think they're now 3-2 on the season. And a couple of local players on their team did very well. Courtney Smith out of Peabody High School had 5 goals in the game.
Whoa.
And one other note out of the game locally was Amanda Nyan, also of Peabody. She caused 5 turnovers in the game, and so she had a good game as well for Salem State. And they'll next travel to UMass Dartmouth for a Thursday night game at 7 o'clock.
All right, now.
Game. So,
I know that you probably have heard some discussion. We haven't had a chance to talk about it in the mornings for my scheduling being messed up. But this UConn flap over the UConn women's team, I don't know where it started or what. I guess it was... somebody writing in the Globe about how UConn is bad for women's basketball. Did you hear about that, Bill?
You know, a little bit. I was out of town this weekend, and but I really wasn't following it as closely. I did go through Connecticut, though. But
okay, that counts.
But and actually, I heard the women's game on. I flipped across the dial, listened for like 15 seconds, but that was it. So
well. It's like everybody's taking pot shots at the best once again. It's nobody can celebrate the fact that. Some teams are just excellent all the time. There's got to be some fly in the ointment, some reason that something's going wrong and they're doing bad. And it's just it's disgusting. UConn is UConn, and they're the UCLA on the men's side in the East.
Yeah, on the women's side, you mean? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of UConn, to be honest with you. I don't know what it is. It's just something, they have this kind of attitude there. I always noticed it. But anyway, about the basketball, probably not so much about their football. But you know, I don't really know. I always think, to be honest with you, I always wonder about programs that do so well.
Mm-hmm.
What the deal is, you know? And they're in, you know, it's Connecticut, you know, whatever. But it's just something that I always kind of wonder about, because they're so dominant. You know what I'm saying?
All the time. Well, you know, it's funny.
But on the other hand, that's one sport, I guess. You know, the men have always, through the years, have been very successful as well. Not as successful, but they've done well. But they also went under investigation, too. So, you know.
When I was in high school in Texas, we had a couple of kids go down to the University of Texas to play football. And their first year, and I'm probably exaggerating a tad, but they really didn't have to go to any classes. They had tutors assigned to them to go to class, and so they would get the notes and stuff, and they would work with the kids so that the kids could concentrate on football. And you know, that's the way it is in these big college programs. And I'm betting you know, UConn women's probably the same thing. It's a basketball factory. So you know, that's a way of life in big college sports.
Yeah, I may not be that fond of them, but I don't know if I'd go that far. But I don't know if it's quite like that in the Northeast. But you know, but who knows? You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm sure there are certain exceptions with certain students. I guess you know that comes with the territory. But
all right, where are we going, Bill? Because I know that I was talking to Bob Jackson about what a fun year it was for me covering hockey, and it's the most fun I think I've ever had. And we've done a lot of games over the years, and we did a lot of games this year, both hockey and basketball, and I had an absolute blast in hockey with the NEC, and I know that you had a blast covering the schools in basketball as well. It was an up year for the NEC.
Yeah, and we both did, you did some basketball with me, and I did some hockey with you, and, you know, I hadn't seen a lot of high school hockey in the last few years. We used to do it a lot. I just think it's a much better game today than it was years and years ago. The one Gloucester game that I saw, I might have seen two Gloucester games, but the one near the end, I think it was the playoff game, the 4-1 win, I think I saw that one, right?
Yep,
I
yep.
For that, but,
yep,
yep. But anyways, I was very impressed with their patience, their puck control and so on. And obviously Marblehead was a very special story this year as well for Coach Jackson. They almost came back in that, at the Songas Center in that game, but just came, you know, dug a hole that was just a little bit too deep for them to get out of. But and then on the basketball side, I think what you're alluding to too, Rick, is you know, Danvers really had a fantastic, you know, they've had a great run under Coach John Walsh, and he's stepped down, and right now he's saying that he's not coaching anywhere else, but you know, I gotta think he's gotta be coaching somewhere else at some point down the road. He's just too talented of a basketball coach, but I also gotta think he puts a lot into it, and so maybe he does need a break or something like that. But a great young coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did some of their games a few years ago, kind of took a little respite with being so busy in the last few winters. But it was great to see his teams. And obviously they're not the same teams that he had a few years ago, or a year ago, I should say. But they're still, they play very hard and do a lot of things very well. The talent level that they had, and also it was great to see some of the other teams around the North Shore do so well this year as well, both on the girls and boys side. And I won't get into mentioning a lot of names here, but Salem actually had a very special year under Coach Tom Doyle. Undefeated Northeast Conference season, went out of league, played top D1 teams, lost some regular season games, but out of league, but then did pretty well in the playoffs as well. But they lost to the Brighton team, as did Danvers.
How do you look at the changes in Beverly, Bill, with James Coffey leaving and Coach Bauer moving over to Marblehead? That's some pretty big changes over there.
Yeah, I know. They are. They're going to have. They've had some stability over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think when all is said and done, and you look at what Dan Bauer did in football at Beverly, it's really another remarkable story, actually. In a town that, Hope really does expect to win in football. I'm not saying they expect to win every game, but they do want a winning football program in Beverly, and they've done very well over the years there. So football's been, a very good sport in Beverly, and Dan Bauer just stepped in and has done a fantastic job over there. So they're going to miss him a lot. And for James Coffey, we love James. He's done a great job over there. Very energetic, young guy. You know, just what you're looking for, it seems to me, in an athletic director. So, you know, he will be missed, and not surprised that if he wanted to get a job somewhere else and move, relocate for it with his family, and that's what he wanted to do, that he's found himself a very nice position up in Falmouth, Maine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there's a lot of talk up in Gloucester about Kim Patience possibly or probably leaving at the end of this year as athletic director. Are there other changes that we know about, Bill?
Well, I think the only one that I'm aware of, I'm trying to think here, there probably will be more, but is the in Lynn English, where Gary Malaya moved up to be a vice principal at the high school, and he, I believe it'll be Dick Newton who will be the athletic director. I don't think there's been anything official on that yet, but I believe that that will be, he's the assistant athletic director there. And the situation with Lynn English is it's a stipend position, so it's a teacher and a stipend. Some athletic directors are administrative, but that's not the case at Lynn English or mm-hmm. Lynn Classical, or I imagine Lynn Tech as well, the three public high schools in Lynn. So it's it appears that it's going to be Dick Newton, and he'll you know, he's a great guy, and you know, we'll continue on. But as far as I know, I'm trying to think. I don't know of any others.
Yeah.
Right now. That
well, that was the other one I couldn't remember. That was the one with Gary. Yeah. Bill, what else? What do you got up on North Shore today?
Well, on the post today,
yeah.
We you know, we just talked about some of the news stories, and you know, Josh Arnold had talked with Chief Coppinger from the Lynn Police, so we had that. But we also had a couple of videos up there, some entertaining videos, and we kind of explained that on the post, but it's on the North Shore Today post. And if you haven't seen the Hidden Camera Show, Just for Laughs, we have a kind of a classic, you know, typical kind of thing, bits that they do, but they do some really funny stuff. They're out of Montreal, and you can catch their stuff on the web. You know, it's on the internet and stuff. And but there are definitely some fun things on there. So if you
I watched the Groucho thing too from the other day. That would crack me up. It was some good stuff you have up there. I'll tell you in the
which one was that?
I don't know. Did you have Groucho or one of the ones you had up there led me to a Groucho one? It was Groucho and Johnny Carson. one of the ones you had on the site went to another one afterwards. And
we put some Gale Storm up there for you, Rick.
Yes, you did. Thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah, right. Bring back some deep dark memories, man. I forgot I was alive back then. Are you kidding me? Oh, Bill, anything else you want to mention before we wrap this up and get on the air tomorrow morning?
No, I just hope to dry out here, and we got to get cracking on the spring sports previews and so on. But we need to put some work on that. But do check back with us, and you know, folks can email us at the website. Email the contact information is up on the top right hand side of the website, but it's msonewsports@gmail.com.
Okay, Bill. Thanks. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, take care. Yep.
Thanks, Bill. That's Bill Newell, who is Mr. Everything for us here at MSO News Sports, as is Tim Kearns. Tim coaching freshman baseball this season with at Gloucester High School. And Bill and I trying to ramp up the sports season for spring, see if we can get something going here, get the interviews out with the ADs and the coaches, and hopefully cover some spring sports live. We'll do our best. Hey, thanks for joining me tonight. Spread the word, would you please? I want to say hi to Ben Goodhue, Coach Goodhue, doing a great job, as he always does over at Beverly High School as the conditioning coach, as well as an assistant football coach, and one of the great coaches and educators on the North Shore, and always checking in with us. We appreciate Coach Goodhue's input and enthusiasm. And thanks to everybody tonight, Gary Larrabee, Bob Jackson, Nick Kukuru, and of course to Bill Newell and Jack Stafford, the North Shore Student Athlete of the Month male award winner for February. Sarah Welch out of Beverly High School is the female student athlete of the month, and her interview is up on the website as well. Okay, thanks a lot. Talk to you guys later. See ya. Bye-bye.